This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. It's 2:46. Hyatt Bass is a filmmaker whose first feature film, 75 Degrees in July, led her to write her first novel. The Embers is just out from Henry Holt. The Embers is a story about a once close-knit family that is deeply divided by guilt and blame over a son's mysterious death. The novel opens in autumn. A young woman, Emily, and her fiancé, Clay, are surveying the place where they'll be married. The land belongs to Emily's family. Upon it once stood a house. Here is how the novel begins. It was odd how quickly nature reclaimed the land. Emily stepped out of the car and headed into the grass. Where the house used to be, there was only meadow now, her family's own piece of rolling Berkshire hills. It is soon clear in this novel that ghosts of some sort lie here. Let me share another short excerpt from the novel. According to the laws of science, neither mass nor energy is created or destroyed. The total amount in the universe always remains constant. And fundamentally, Emily understood this. But as she moved through the knee-high grass, which used to be the kitchen and used to be animated by four lives, one of which was no longer being lived, she could not fathom where it had all gone. Was the energy still there? And what of Thomas? How did the laws of conservation apply to him? That from the novel, The Embers, by Hyatt Bass. Hyatt Bass grew up in a high-profile Fort Worth, Texas family. She trained to become a ballet dancer, but injuries shifted her focus to film. And as she was editing her first feature film, she was thinking of her next screenplay. But the idea she had didn't seem to fit with the medium of film. Bass is also a wife and mother, and she sits on the board of directors for the New York Women's Foundation. She'll donate a portion of the proceeds from the Embers to women's funds across the country. Hyatt Bass is on tour to promote the book and talk about achieving economic security for low-income women and girls. Tomorrow evening at 7, she'll be at the Women and Children First in Chicago. That's a bookstore, and it is located on North Clark, and I'm pleased to have her as my guest this afternoon here on the program. Hyatt Bass, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
How did the idea for The Embers begin to percolate?
When I was thinking about my next film would be, I saw a precocious-looking adolescent girl in a cafe one day, and I thought she'd make an interesting subject for my next film. And then I wanted to use an actor who was in his 70s, who was in my other film. I wanted to use him again and feature him very prominently. So I had this very sort of unlikely combination, and I thought it would be a funny sort of friendship that might develop between these two people at two very different stages of life, but who might, you know, take comfort in one another. And then... that was the full scope of the screenplay, and I just kept feeling like I needed more room to explore, and it just didn't, you know, it didn't work as a screenplay. So when it didn't work, I had nothing to lose by just trying it out as a novel. And I loved writing that way, and then this man's family started to grow around him and took over the book. Mm. So it really became about family and the way that people who are closest to one another have trouble connecting, but also about the triumph of family bonds, after this tragedy, but any kind of everyday challenges even can sort of tear a family apart. Mm.
How did you begin to imagine the ghostly aspects of the story?
There was this quote that I carried around in my head for a while before I started writing, and it was this quote by Vincent van Gogh, and I use it in the book, and it's, one may have a blazing hearth in one's soul and yet nobody come to sit by it. And it really just described the way that these characters have so much trouble relating to one another in the state of isolation that they're all living in. And I guess just even in that, there was a sort of feeling of ghostliness, you know, being there but not really being there, and yearning for something that you can't have, or that it's so close and yet it's not there. And so out of that quote came the title for the book, and then also, you know, some of the imagery and themes. But there was also this book, early on I told a friend what I was writing about, and he said, oh, that sounds kind of like this book by William Styron called Lie Down in Darkness. And I'd never read it before, so I immediately read it, and it immediately became one of my favorite books. And that really influenced, too, a lot of the subject matter and helped me structure it a lot, because it was so similar in a way. But it was, you know, again, about a child who had died, and then everyone piecing their lives together. And also the back and forth between the past and the present. Is something that book does, as well as my own.
Yeah. How do you handle a point of view in this novel, The Embers?
Right. Well, again, that was something that I think led my friend to suggest this book. And also another friend eventually suggested Susan Minot's book, Monkeys, which became a great influence, too. I really love that book. And both of them have this thing in common with mine, which is that it shifts from one character to another in point of view, so that you're constantly reassessing your idea of everybody else, or of everybody, of this group of people, because you're constantly changing the point of view from which you're looking at the group.
Mm. I mentioned that your family is well known in Texas, and they are involved in civic affairs and charity. How did you become involved with the New York Women's Fund?
I knew I wanted to do work in social justice in some way, and I wasn't exactly sure what. I started, you know, sort of handing out soups in a mobile soup kitchen, and that just felt like I was sort of a body, and I really wanted to get involved, but I didn't have a degree in social work, and I didn't really know. And then suddenly, I just found my way into this, the New York Women's Foundation, which is a real roll up your sleeves, everybody come pitch in foundation that has a really interesting. It's a really interesting model. It's something called participatory grant making, and it actually they invite a group of volunteers every cycle to help to advise them on who in the community, what grassroots organizations serving women and girls, all ultimately for the purpose of sustainable economic security, should get the grants. And so that was just a really exciting thing to me. And I've met so many incredible, inspiring, brilliant people. And it's just been such a part of my life while I've been writing this book that I wanted to, you know, give back in some way. And since the book has a national release, I decided to sort of expand the scope and make it, you know, funds across the country like that. That receive a portion of the proceeds.
Yeah. Well, now that The Embers is a novel, do you envision yourself turning it into a screenplay?
Well, yes. It's funny because now I think it would make a really good film. I spent 7 years working on this book, though, and I'm not interested in writing the screenplay myself or directing it. So it's kind of nice. You know, it's actually going out to filmmakers right now, and I'll have some sort of producerial role, but not, you know, not as the writer or director. So.
Yeah, I think it'll be really an interesting experience for you now that you have experience as a novelist and a filmmaker to see what another filmmaker would do with your novel.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, there we've got to wrap it up. I want to thank you very much for talking with me this afternoon.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
You're very welcome. Hyatt Bass is the author of The Embers. The book is published by Henry Holt, and she is on tour now to promote the novel and talk about achieving economic security for low-income women and girls. Tomorrow evening at 7, she'll be at Women and Children First in Chicago. The bookstore is located on North Clark Street. Again, the book, The Embers, a novel.